This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company. For more information and links to all our great podcasts, visit hartmanmedia.com.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show with Jason Hartman. You're about to learn a new slant on investing, some exciting techniques, and fresh new approaches to the world's most historically proven asset class that will enable you to create more wealth and freedom than you ever thought possible. Jason is a genuine self-made multimillionaire who's actually been there and done it. He's a successful investor, lender, developer, and entrepreneur who's owned properties in 11 states, had hundreds of tenants, and been involved in thousands of real estate transactions. This program will help you follow in Jason's footsteps on the road to your financial independence day. You really can do it. And now, here's your host, Jason Hartman, with the complete solution for real estate investors.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show. This is your host, Jason Hartman, with episode number 779. Thank you so much for joining me today as we witness a sea change in the world, and that is the Trump presidency. Things, Bob Dylan, that famous line, times they are a-changin', right? Times they are a-changin', and they definitely are a-changin'. And the amazing thing that I will share with you today, and it's not really that the interview is so amazing, but the context is so amazing, because our guest today is Gerald Celente. Now, you know, Mr. Celente may disagree with me or may not like what I'm about to say necessarily, but I'm just going to say it. It's my perception. Gerald Celente has for many, many years been a doom and gloomer. He is a trends forecaster. He is a futurist. And he has always, since I discovered him, been very negative. And this is a change. This is the first time he is optimistic. And I have followed this guy for probably, 11, 12 years now. And he's just always been really negative. And you're going to hear something amazing, a 180-degree turn, an about-face, a U-turn, a turnaround in Celente, saying that he's pretty optimistic, and it is pretty surprising. And I'm very optimistic, too. I'm very bullish about the real estate market and the investment opportunities in a Trump administration. I do have two concerns out there as far as real estate goes. Now, I have certainly many other concerns in general about life and Trump being reckless with his Twitter account. But I love the fact that he's talking directly to us, the people. You know, if you want to know what Trump is thinking, just look at Twitter. Anytime before that, if you wanted to know what the president was thinking, you had to get it all filtered and spun through the lame stream media and those disgusting media elites that are not part of direct democracy. They're not part of free thinking. They're not a marketplace of ideas. They are scum. And those scumbags have really been, they've been called to the table in this last election, haven't they? They have lost a ton of credibility. Finally, I wish it would have happened decades earlier, because they have been far too influential, mostly leaning to the left, as you know. There have been many media surveys over the years that have shown that the media has a hardcore left-wing bias. You know, say that 85 to 90% of people in the media, journalists that are forming our opinions, lean to the left. And that's obvious, because you could see how they reacted to this last election. But look, that's not really the topic, as usual. Tangent alert. The point is that, I mean, look, even though Trump is reckless with his Twitter account, and in general, I believe he is rambunctious and reckless, and I don't like that about him, but I do like the fact that you can just go to Twitter to see what the president thinks, right? That's how it should be. Why should it be filtered through a bunch of spin doctors in the media? It should not. It should not be that way. Well, there's a Wall Street Journal article. Oh, hang on a second. Jason? Hang on. you got to tell them the two things you're concerned about, right? That's what you were going to say before you got off on that tangent. Yes, it was. See, we're talking to ourselves here. The two things that concern me about the economy are the business cycle and rising interest rates. Now, rising interest rates actually are a bullish sign. They mean that the economy is, that the market thinks the economy will strengthen. And when you have a strengthening economy, a truly strengthening economy, see, we haven't had that over the past 8 years, folks. We've had an economy built on smoke and mirrors and on money printing. Well, that money printing didn't really reach the streets yet, and that's why we didn't see much in the way of inflation for the past few years. But rising interest rates are a sign of inflationary pressures and inflationary concerns, and rates looks like they're going up. Well, they have gone up. I mean, you know, we've already talked about that on the past couple of episodes about these rate increases, but the concern is that there will be more of them. So to you, that means urgency. Lock in those 3-decade-long fixed-rate mortgages ASAP as soon as possible, because those opportunities may dissipate. But you know about the three dimensions of real estate and how if we see higher rates and reduced buying activity and softening prices, that means we will see higher rents because there's a counterbalance. But the thing that hurts people is the adjustment period. Can they weather the storm through the adjustment? And that adjustment is usually 1 to 2 years until things start to really adjust nicely and the winners emerge. The people who locked in today and took advantage of those low rates and locked them in for 3 decades, of course. So interest rates, they are a concern to me, and I think they should be to everybody. But the other thing that's a concern is the general business cycle. And we're going to talk a lot about that at our upcoming Meet the Masters event. You know, when did the business cycle really begin? How long does it usually last? What does it mean to us? And so we'll talk about that. And by the way, we have on Friday evening, we had 14 seats available for Meet the Masters. I don't know how many we have offhand at the moment, but we had 14 just a day and a half ago. And so if you want to get in to the live version where you attend in person of our Meet the Masters of Income Property, go to jasonhartman.com, click on the events section, and get your ticket today. Get it immediately because we really are almost sold out. We got a bigger room. It was a little harder to sell out this larger room for our hotel venue in Irvine, California. Again, we do have a small number of tickets left, so take advantage of those. Now, if you can't come and you can't attend in person, for the first time ever, we are doing a live stream of the event, and you can buy live streaming tickets. And of course, there will be an archive, and live streamers have the option to participate in the event and ask questions and so forth. So that is also available at jasonhartman.com. Click on events, even though this event is virtual when it's a live stream, you will have the opportunity to participate. It's the first time we've ever offered live streaming tickets to one of our events. So check that out if you cannot fly here. Again, this event over the years, we've had people come from all around the world, from Asia, from Europe, from the Middle East, from many other places around the world, and we would love to have you attend in person, but if that is not available to you, grab a live streaming ticket and attend the event virtually, and you can watch in either real time, or you can watch the archive of the live stream as well. So it's a great opportunity. First time we've ever offered that. jasonhartman.com, click on events, and get your tickets for either the in-person or the live stream event. Now, the Wall Street Journal was out with an article just a few days ago. Oh no, actually it's more than a few days ago. It's the month before last. Sorry. Some of these things, I don't get to read them fast enough to you or share them with you fast enough. But this article was interesting, and it's exactly what I talked about. It says, Trump's win fuels bets on inflation. Yes, I do believe that Mr. Trump is inflationary. the subtitle says the bond market gauge Thursday hit the highest level since the summer of 2015. So inflationary pressures and inflationary concerns are definitely upon us in the Trump administration. So that is the, again, the home run for real estate investors following my unique plan, where you take advantage of the multiple dimensions of income property, you take advantage of inflation-induced debt destruction, and that will be a great opportunity for all of us. So I'm very bullish. Again, I do have a couple of concerns, one being the business cycle, the other being interest rates. We will talk a lot more about those at Meet the Masters, either on the live stream or in person, depending on which way you decide to attend the event. Another article I want to talk to you about is this USA Today article and also RT, Russian Times, which is an interesting news media outlet supported by Russia. I mean, but they have great stories. I follow them. I've been following them for several years now. And, you know, RT has some great content in terms of news media. And it's interesting to get a different perspective. But this article, Drew Baker, one of our clients who was on the show before a couple of years ago, a young guy, a millennial, and he posted this in our content section, which, by the way, we opened up our sort of in-house internal content page on Facebook to all of our Venture Alliance Mastermind members. You know, we've got some great articles there. A lot of it is the content for the podcast, and a lot of it I don't get to share on the podcast, but we go back and forth in there talking about these articles and talking about what they mean to us as real estate investors, what they mean to our personal financial lives. And if you are a Venture Alliance member, of course, you know that that is available to you now. If you're not in the Venture Alliance and you join, that's one additional perk that we added. But Drew posted this article entitled Millennials Earn 20% Less Than Boomers, meaning baby boomers, did at the same stage of life. And so they're earning less. And now you combine that with the additional burdens that their baby boomer parents didn't have. That, of course, is student loan debt and all of the things that we talk about on the show and we've talked about for many, many prior episodes. And you see what's happened. You see how the left-wing political party has sold these people out for decades, whether it be the blue-collar Rust Belt workers that captured the Trump vote because they finally seemed to wake up to it's not just about talk, it's about action, and figured that, hey, they'd take a chance on something else, even if it's not exactly what they like, and that's exactly what they did when they went to the polls. But also the millennial generation, you know, which largely is definitely not a supporter of this administration. In fact, they're busy wearing safety pins and going to their little safe rooms post-election. I mean, taxpayer-sponsored. I mean, folks, you can't make this stuff up. College universities, what was it, Ohio State maybe, that rented ponies and, I mean, post-election, it was just mind-boggling. I mean, you can't write fiction this good. It's ridiculous. But this is an interesting thing. You know, this article talks about downward mobility and how student loan debt is drastically higher and opportunities have been fading away. Thank you, Bill Clinton, and really George Bush, because he was just they're all in the same club, folks. I mean, liberal, conservative, Democrat, Republican, it hardly matters. There's a slight difference. It's not significant. Trump might be a real difference. I think he will. I hope he will. You know, NAFTA has just traded their jobs away. I mean, the jobs have just, Ross Perot and the giant sucking sound. He was exactly right. What he said happened. Hopefully that tide will reverse. It really does seem like it will. But the millennials are a market that needs to be served. These people need rental housing. They appreciate mobility. They like the sharing economy. They want to move to where the jobs are. And they are saddled with earning 20% less than their parents, the baby boomers. And they are also saddled with dramatic levels of non-dischargeable, even in bankruptcy, no second chances, student loan debt. So they are going to be renters for a long time. And guess what else? they're postponing marriage and family creation. So this is an ideal rental market. I've talked for many years about how the demographics coming at the rental housing market over the next decade are phenomenal. They are nothing short of phenomenal. So if there is or was any time to be a real estate investor in sensible, cash-flowing income properties in linear markets, this is the time. So with that, let's get to our pessimist turned optimist, our doom and gloomer turned, what's the opposite of doom and gloomer? Sunny side upper. How's that? You know, I'm going to go have some brunch here pretty soon after this, some Sunday brunch. And that is Gerald Celente. I mean, it is amazing to see the turnaround in his attitude and his outlook at the future. So let's get to that. And we hope to see you at our upcoming Meet the Masters event. And if not, grab a live streaming ticket. Here is our guest, Gerald Celente. It's my pleasure to welcome Gerald Celente back to the show. I believe this is his third time on the show. He is, of course, founder of the Trends Research Institute. He's publisher of the Trends Journal and editor of Agora Financial's Breakthrough Technology Alert. You've heard his name. He's been on Oprah. He's been in the media quite a bit, and he's always making interesting predictions about what is to come. And we have had such a sea change in the political climate. It's just... it's an about face. It's a 180-degree turn. So, Gerald, welcome. How are you?
I'm very well. Thank you, Jason.
Good, good. I can't wait to hear what you think is coming our way for the new year and for the next few years. I mean, I'm sure you agree with me that this is quite a sea change in the political climate, right?
Oh, it certainly is. And again, it's one that we forecast in the Trends Journal back in May. We picked Trump the winner. And it's that old phrase for two reasons. Number one, back in May of 2015, a year earlier, our cover of our Trends Journal was Liars, Cowards, Freaks, and Fools, Welcome to the Presidential Reality Show. And that was 2 months before Trump got in. So the two
And then it really became a reality
show,
right?
It was, that's what we're saying. It's always been a reality show. And now you had a reality show champion. So the two reasons why we picked him a winner is that he knows how to play reality shows real well. He's a champ. And the other one, it's the economy, stupid. That was that old Bill Clinton phrase back in 1992. And you look at the data, just came out, some new data. Millennials voted for Trump because of economic problems. And it's really what it's all about. It's not only in the United States. You see, it's the message, not the messenger. If there was a different messenger, that messenger would have creamed Clinton, because it's the same thing that's happening in Italy with the five-star movement, Cinque Stelle. You know, they just overthrew the prime minister, Renzi. And then you look what's happening with Brexit. I mean, people voted out what they wanted to leave, and all the pressure that they gave put on them, they said, you know, we're doing it, we're leaving. And you see what's going on in France and one country after another, Germany. So what? It's the economy. And
Before you move on, Gerald, let me just ask you, does this mean that, you know, socialism is going out of style? I mean, I sure hope so. But then you look at the Generation Y support where, you know, one of these surveys, at least, that seems pretty accurate to me, at least anecdotally, is, you know, 69% of Generation Y would vote for a more socialist system. You know, they supported Bernie Sanders, the delusional Sanders. I don't know, you know, I mean, is this a shift, or is it just a shift away from, like, big government, maybe?
It's away from big government. It's not socialism at all. You know, Bernie Sanders, I mean, that's how desperate the people were, that a guy, you know, I'll give you free education, I'll give you free health care. You know, you buy two Knishes, you get one free. You know, I mean, come on, give me a break. I've seen this act on Coney Island before, you know.
Right.
You know, so what I'm saying is that's how desperate the people are. But no, this isn't socialism. Under Obama, for example, 95% of the wealth went to the 1%.
Well, that's true.
Right. Under Obama, the 10 million jobs that were created, according to a Harvard-Princeton study, 94% of them were temporary. Under Obama, not one person on Wall Street was prosecuted. And six banks were convicted of felonies for rigging the LIBOR and Forex markets. So it's not socialism. What the change is, the people are tired of the few elites telling them how to live their lives while they're getting, you know, their lives are getting better at the top and everybody else is getting worse. So again, Trump comes in and it's a whole new game. And it's, and this is one of our top trends, by the way, make it new. We're political atheists, you know, like everybody's heard me talk about Trump, you know, this guy, you know, it's not, I'm not a fan of his by a long shot. I didn't vote this election because neither of the candidates represent my values. So having said that, what I have to say has nothing to do with like or dislike. I'm a trend forecaster. I see things the way they are, not the way they want them to be. So with Trump is, we've gone from a president that's been sitting in office for 8 years, and we've been at war for 8 years. 8 years before that under George Bush, and now you have a businessman in chief. The bottom line, he's a bottom line guy. That's why you're seeing the markets react the way they did. And you mentioned earlier, you know, I've done 180 on my people used to call me a gloom and doomer on the economy. Go back to the night before Election Day. Over the weekend before, the FBI said that they weren't going to further investigate Hillary Clinton. Wall Street was all for Clinton. The next day, on Monday, the markets opened up 371 points before Election Day. And when Trump was winning that night, the futures plunged 800 points. Gold went up over $50. And then all of a sudden, a reversal. Why? Look what's going on. Again, whether you like the guy or not, he's talking about tariffs. You know, why not? We've had tariffs in this country forever, up until really Bill Clinton really started killing the whole thing, Reagan before that a bit, but nobody liked Clinton. So now you see Chrysler says they're going to make more cars here. Then you hear Ford say, we're going to make more cars here. You see Apple saying, we're going to do production over here. That's positive. So what we're saying is the trend is your friend. You go with it. So there's three worlds, Jason. There's the media world, the political world, and the real world. In the media world, all we're hearing about, the Russians are coming. And then since the election, yeah, we're going to have a recount. Well, the Electoral College doesn't count. That's all we've been hearing. That's the political world and the media world. In the real world, you look at the real numbers. So the real numbers come out. Ah, hey, how about those retail numbers that came out, huh? In December, boy, they were really positive, higher than anybody expected. Hey, how about consumer confidence? Yeah, consumer confidence in the United States climbed to the 2009 levels in December. Better than that yet. According to the conference board, you just saw a spike that rivaled in small business in confidence and optimism to 1980. 1980, the year Ronald Reagan beats Jimmy Carter, while the business of America back then was the Iran hostage crisis, stagflation, it became business again. So what we're telling our subscribers is, you know, we've changed our forecast. Are we bullish on gold? No, not like we were. Do we still see it as a safe haven asset? Absolutely. And only speaking for myself, because we do not give financial advice. Agora and others do that we work with. We don't. What do? We say, well, we're holding it because of other reasons, not because of the United States or the dollar getting strong, which is going to put downward pressure on it. But it's a global marketplace. And when you look at the global marketplace, hey, don't you wish, Jason, you were down in Mexico and holding those pesos that are going, they're worth almost, you know, they're at lowest level ever? Or maybe you'd rather be living in Turkey where the lira now just hit an all-time low. Or maybe in China where the yuan is at an eight-year low.
And right. What you're doing is you're talking about how, you know, America's like the prettiest of the ugly girls at the dance, right? And maybe just got a lot prettier in terms of its political climate, at least if you ask me. But, you know, by comparison, you know, compared to what, right? I mean,
you got it. You
the
nailed
whole thing's
it.
A mess, you know? Right.
You yeah. got it. And you the prettier girl is perfect. And if Clinton won, we couldn't say that.
Right. We definitely could not say that. Yeah, you're right. Yeah. So by comparison, speaking relatively, I mean, the U.S. is in great shape, isn't it?
Compared to what the rest of the world is, yes. And then, again, you cannot... Again, it's wide open. This is what we're saying. Make it new. Trump didn't only defeat Hillary Clinton. He beat Obama. Bad. Obama campaigned more than any other sitting president for another candidate in the history, modern history. And my legacy, folks, I don't have to do that folk stuff anymore. My legacy, folks, you know, you vote in my lair, they tell you what to do with your legacy and where to shove it. But because they lost the House big time, they lost the Senate, and they lost state houses across the country. He didn't only beat Obama and Clinton, he beat the mainstream media. Why do you think they're coming out with this stuff fake news? They're little crybaby nothings. So they're making up fake news because they got whipped so bad. Every major newspaper supported Clinton. Well, if everybody have attention deficit disorder here, then look, who else did they beat? They beat Silicon Valley. Again, make it new. The people are tired of the old. You had the Zuckerbergs, the Schmidts. It came out in WikiLeaks that Google was all behind Clinton, the best algorithms, the best of everything. They lost. Hollywood, the Katzenbergs, the Spielbergs, the $100,000 a plate dinners. Obama visited California 43 times during his sitting in the White House.
Wow, that's even more than he played golf. I'm just kidding. He played golf more than that. But
so yeah. he beat Hollywood. The point is very important. He beat Clooney, De Niro. He bought the entity, the Springsteens, the Bon Jovis. He beat the Beyoncés, the Jay-Zs. What everyone listening should understand is people want it new. They're tired of these people with their bad attitudes and big mouths shoving their crap or trying to down everybody else's mouth. It's in time now to take advantage of opportunity. Play the Trump card. It's there for everyone to play. You have a product, stamp that thing made in USA, made in USA. You're going to make footwear, sneakers, athletic wear? Go advertise where Phil Knight is with Nike over there, where they're in Oregon, Washington, wherever they are up around there, and start running ads. Phil Knight's a sellout. He's selling out American workers by getting his product made in slave labor countries where they're paying them slave labor wages. Buy American products. Buy our made in USA footwear. Play the Trump card. It's there for everybody to see, everybody to do, but people get caught up in their attitudes, their belief systems. So because they're tied down, their eyes are closed. We've never seen an opportunity window open like the one we have since the 1980s.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So are jobs coming back to the U.S.? Are wages going to go up? I mean, it's been decades since we've had any real wage increases when adjusted for inflation. I'm pretty bullish on things, and I think you are too. This is and Gerald, just to give a context, I mean, this is rare for you, right? You usually seem kind of like a pessimistic.
It's a 180.
Right? Yeah. Okay.
It's a 180 on the economy. It's a total different. Look at the guys he's putting in. Would I want to do business with a Wilbur Ross or a Mnuchin? They'd eat me up in the business world. So they're going to be, if they use their business skills on behalf of we the people with renegotiating these lousy deals that have been put in place, yeah, they're great. If they don't do it, the big if, of course. I don't know. But again, and you mentioned real wages. Well, under Obama, corporate profits went up 166%. Real wages climbed the grand total of 3.4%. So you're right. Will we real? Yes, they will if we become more of a self-sustaining economy. Why is a self-sustaining economy? Everybody loves to buy local. Why can't you buy national? We're 320 million people. 98% of our clothing comes from foreign countries. Well, we're too stupid to make our own. We can't give people living wage jobs. Oh, Amazon's going to create more jobs. Great. Oh, yeah. Terrific. You learn how to stack, you know, shelves and pack boxes. That'll make you a good living. Yeah.
And it's interesting that hypocrite Jeff Bezos, the founder of Amazon, you know, from all that you read about it, just works people to death. Like, I mean, the Amazon is one of the hardest companies to work for. Hypocrite Michael Moore, lots of talk and rumors about how he underpays his people on his movies, you know, but these people are supposed to be the generous bleeding hearts, right? They don't act like that when it comes to their own life.
Now, again, so yeah, it was going back to, yeah, we think there's opportunity. Again, as a trend forecaster, and what we do is we put out the big picture. And it's, think of Trump's campaign slogan, make America great again. When's again? Look at the movie that won all those Golden Globes, La La Land, again. When was the again? Play the again, and also whatever you think it was, you retrofit it for the future. You don't bring it back the way it was. But when was there a time when America was great? And it's not only about America. It's in Italy. It's in all of the countries. They want to get back what they lost. So in the marketing sense, this is what you do. In the product sense, this is what you look at. In the new opportunities, these are the ones to seek. Again, Hollywood lost. Silicon Valley lost. The media lost. The Republican Party. The Democrat. By the way, not only did the Democratic Party lose, so too did the Republican Party. This is a headline. Ryan abandons Trump in sign of Republicans losing U.S. vote hope. Party's top elected official distances himself. Shift comes as Clinton surges in polls. This is a headline from the Financial Times. When do you think that was?
Oh, I you know, a few days before.
You're right. Less than a month before the election.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
So what I'm saying is Trump beat the Republican and Democratic Party as well.
He won everybody with a lower budget, too.
Exactly. So everyone listening, please have faith in what you believe in. If what you believe in has substance to it, and it's not about ego or desire, rather than a product or a service filling a need and filling a gap. If you believe you have those, go for it. It's there for you. Nothing is standing in your way. Trump just showed it. He beat everybody, and everybody's tired of all the people that he beat, which is one of our other trends, Silicon Valley, Rust Belt 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
Close-minded little boys and girls. They know everything. Don't tell us. Well, the Rust Belt, as you know, those are the places where they had natural resources, or they were located on a rail line that was important at a time, or a waterway, whatever. It was location and resources. Silicon Valley is just the mind. And as we saw from this election, the mind is really in a valley. So now you're going to start seeing developments, whether it's in driverless cars, whatever it might be, moving more and more away from Silicon Valley. The mind could reside and does reside anywhere in the world. So you also saw a big defeat of Silicon Valley here. Watch for the big decline to begin.
Yeah, that's fascinating. You know, Gerald, tell me what you think. I think Trump is inflationary. I think we'll see some inflationary pressure. And, you know, listen, philosophically, I agree with you in that I don't like inflation, but as a real estate investor, I love inflation. So, you know, do you think Trump is inflationary?
Yes, he is. But as a real estate investor, don't forget they're going to be raising interest rates probably another two times.
Interest rates up, but Dodd-Frank hopefully gone.
Yeah,
or,
but still,
with
interest rates up, you know, you're already looking at them in the real estate market on the top ends, the luxury markets. You're seeing declines in sales 20%.
But those need to happen. I mean, those cyclical markets
saying,
are way
you know,
overvalued.
As we're looking at real estate, you know, we have to put the whole picture together. And again, even if interest rates do go up, as inflation does go up, and now you're seeing a consensus among the Fed that they're going to be raising interest rates. I mean, I've never seen so much agreement in the last 10 years where they've been so outward that they're going to be doing it. And we need to get interest rates back to respectable levels because it's a war against savers. It's a war against we the little people. You have no place to put your money anymore. And that's the only reason the stock markets and equity markets boosted so high, because of all the stock buybacks and all the merger and acquisition activity from zero interest rate policy. So we're going to see a raise in interest rates. But even having said that, on the average of about the last 60 years, interest rates for mortgages are about 8.5%. So even if they go up to 4.55, it's still respectable. but it's still going to hit it. This is going to hit the market, and the market in a lot of places has been overbuilt. So,
oh yeah, or overvalued.
So,
right?
Overvalued. Thank you that you said it better than I did. Overvalued. So, but again, the one thing that I learned that I wish I learned earlier is that in prime markets, even when the prices go down, they go back up. You know, I remember, you know, a guy from New York, I could have bought places on, you know, down in the West Village, apartments for $80,000, you know, and they're selling now for $1.2 million.
You know? Oh, I know. It's crazy. It's crazy.
So you'll have the dives, but they're going to go back up because the population of the world keeps expanding and the business of the world, again, is back to business.
Right, right. And that's definitely important and definitely very bullish. But if we see inflation, if we see wage growth, if we see the borders under control, so Americans, you know, wages will naturally increase. You don't need Bernie Sanders to make a minimum wage law. What you need is market forces that are fair, where you don't have, you know, a poverty-stricken, people fleeing a poverty-stricken, corrupt country like Mexico coming into the U.S. and lowering the wages through those market conditions. You know, if you control the borders, minimum wages at the lower end of the scale will naturally increase. And so that means people are going to have more money to buy things, to pay rent, to just improve the economy overall. I'm very bullish in terms of economics with a Trump administration. I think it's going to be good, and it's an about face. I mean, the Democrats have just been lying to those blue collar people in the Rust Belt for decades. They say they support them, but they don't. You know, it's all smoke and mirrors. There's no real support. They're the ones who sold their jobs away. Ross Perot was right. The giant sucking sound, it happened just like he said it would. And now there's going to be a shift in that. It's going to come back the other way, right?
Yes, and it's not only the low-end jobs. We talked about Silicon Valley. And the Silicon Valley con men are the ones that pushed through the H-1B visas under the Democrats that allows them to bring in high-paying help and paying low wages. So it's not only at the lower end, it's at the upper and middle end, too, where you're going to see growth, because they're going to change that as well. And that's why the Silicon – and you're right. The Democrats are a fraud. You know, they pretend to represent the working people, and they're the ones that shaft them continually. And so, you know, yeah, so you're – but again, you know, we are at the Trends Research Institute. As I said, we've done a 180 on this in the sense that – now, on the gold level, you know, we're not as bullish. We still look at it as a safe haven asset for all the reasons I gave you, what's going on overseas. You know, would I want to be holding pesos or yuan or lira? You know, no. I'd rather be holding gold. And that's why they're buying gold in India and in China. You know, physical demand is way up. The markets are a whole different it's a whole different game. But as interest rates go up, you know, you're going to start seeing, you know, it's going to put downward pressure on gold. But it's a global society. America's only, you know, what, 5% of the world's population. So even though we're the largest economy, it's not going to, you know, if you're living in all these other countries, you're going to be going for gold. And we still see it as a safe haven asset. But again, we don't see it as the high flyer that we saw it be, you know, in the beginning and middle of last year.
Sure. Yeah, I agree. Gerald, I just got to ask you before you go, what are your thoughts on, well, to coin a phrase, war and peace under a Trump administration? I mean, at least we're probably not going to go to war with Russia. I mean, with Hillary, that I think that was a decent likelihood. A lot of animosity there, obviously. But the Middle East, North Korea, I mean, you know, what do you see? Trump is a tough guy. What should we expect there?
I think from what he said, I only could go by what he said. He said, we have no business toppling these governments. We're making the conditions worse over there. And all you have to do is look at Iraq, Afghanistan, look at Libya, and look at Syria. Look at the messes the United States caused. So I'm 100% behind him on that. Where I'm not behind him on is building the military bigger. I mean, the military budget now accounts for about 54% of all our expenditures. And seven countries combined don't spend what we do. So I've had enough of this big military and military intervention. And it's a different world now. And I was a keynote speaker at Virginia Military Institute talking about new millennium warfare. Oh, you're going to build a bigger naval fleet? You know, these things are becoming obsolete. It's, the generals are always fighting the last war. So I'm against them on those kind of things, but I'm for it Look, I launched Occupy Peace. The website's occupypeace.us. I put my money where my mouth is. I had Ralph Nader here, Cindy Sheehan, Dr. Robert Thurman, Gary Null. So I'm not a pacifist. I'm a close combat practitioner. I used to teach when I had my own school for many years. I'll attack the attacker. But I don't want to fight. I want peace. Because with peace comes beauty and joy and creativity. You need no greater example than go back to the 1930s. The hottest, happiest music this nation has ever had, Swing Time, the people dressed to the nines, the Great Depression, but we're at peace. So we had creativity rather than this constant fear and hysteria. So that's why I want to see more peace. And I think Trump, as you pointed out, particularly with Russia, is a much better choice than Clinton.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad it worked out the way it did. Gerald, give out your website and just any closing comments you want to share with us on, predictions or what we should do or anything.
Well, what we should do is take advantage of what's there. Again, Trump just beat everybody, the media, the Hollywood, entertainment industry, the music industry, Silicon Valley, Democrat, Republican Party. You can do it too. Create what you want to create. One person of courage makes a majority. And our website is trendsresearch.com, trendsresearch.com.
Gerald Celente, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you, Jason.
Thank you so much for listening. Please be sure to subscribe so that you don't miss any episodes. Be sure to check out the show's specific website and our general website, hartmanmedia.com, for appropriate disclaimers and terms of service. Remember that guests' opinions are their own, and if you require specific legal or tax advice or advice in any other specialized area, please consult an appropriate professional. And we also very much appreciate you reviewing the show. Please go to iTunes or Stitcher Radio or whatever platform you're using and write a review for the show. We would very much appreciate that. And be sure to make it official and subscribe so you do not miss any episodes. We look forward to seeing you on the next episode.